It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 8. We're going to begin with the 23rd verse. Joshua chapter 8, verse 23. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. What we have at that website is many 150, 160 Bible studies or messages that we have either aired on the radio or that we have preached from the pulpit. And so I would love for you to enjoy those, learn from them. The gospel is presented. Please, that you check the website out. It's for that purpose, for your learning, for your growing. And so I just ask that you would do that, please. I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 8. And we're going to look at the 23rd verse and read to the end of the chapter. Joshua chapter 8, verse 23. The king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness wherein they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword, until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai, and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was, that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. And Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto himself, according unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai, and made it a heap forever, even a desolation of the city. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide, and as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. But Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lifted up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel, and their elders and officers and their judges, stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests of the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger as he was that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterwards he read all the words of the law, and the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. That's the reading of God's precious word to finish the chapter, Joshua chapter 8. And while we're going to begin there back in the earlier part of this chapter, why, we'll begin with prayer first. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this study. It's just a time of celebration, a time of rejoicing, to be able to come together and to study your word. And dear Father, I just ask that you will guide and lead us, and just, Father, help each and every one of us each and every day to walk with you, to serve you, to praise you, to honor you. Father, it is a wonderful opportunity that we have to do that. And it seems as though that we spend most of our time complaining and not praising. Help us to change that, dear Lord. Help us to seek out your wisdom and understanding and walk with you each day. I just ask for your strength. And I ask, dear Lord, that please there would be no one that is listening to this program that has not come personally to you. In other words, they have recognized that they're a sinner and come to the cross of Calvary, and only the Holy Spirit can so direct, can show us who we are, which is an ugly mess, and that we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. Please, dear Father, that you will touch every heart, and not that they just know it in their mind, but they, in their heart, is so drawn to you that they will call upon you through and from their heart. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. So please, dear Lord, that that take place today and many be saved, that they would be born again today. And that's a day, my dear Father, they'll never forget. Thank you for this time, this study. Now please, guide and lead us through this as we look at AI and this city and what has happened to them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Glad that you're with us today for this study. We have some wonderful verses of Scripture, and it's a sad day in one respect, victory for Israel, because they went up the first time, and of course it were defeated. And now they came the second time, and they were the victors, because they had inquired of the Lord and found what the problem was and corrected it. And we're going to see that already in chapter 9, they're going to turn around and make a mistake, much like they did back with Ai. Completely different situation, but the mistake they made is not inquiring of the Lord. And we do that all the time ourselves. So please, as we look at these verses of Scripture now and enjoy them, we find right here in verse 23, "And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua." Now, above that, why, if you'll remember how they worked that out, that was kind of a, it was God's plan of how to kind of come around on the side, and then when Joshua and certain of the people would go before the city, and the city would be drawn out, thinking that how foolish are these people, because they're coming up against us, and we've beaten them once, we'll beat them again, and why are they doing this? And so all of a sudden here, all of Ai and Bethel with them, because I think Bethel had probably joined Ai. They were a little larger city, a little safer city. And so Bethel, in their fear of the nation of Israel, I think has joined them. And so here they all come out of the city, and they're about to destroy Joshua and the Israelites that were with him. And about that time, why, we find those that came behind them, and they had closed them off from the city and destroyed all them. They burnt the city down to the ground, destroyed it as they destroyed Jericho. And so, and we find that there was nothing left, no body left. All the men, women, and children were destroyed. And we find this was different than Jericho, because Jericho they were to not bring anything. And here they were allowed to take the spoil, and they were to take the cattle, and to spoil that city. In other words, take their goods. And God said yes to that. So we have all this taking place, and now we come to the kind of the close of this ambush, is the, what the word calls it in verse 21. And Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, and then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. So we find out 23, they have destroyed everybody, but they kept the king. They did not destroy the did not kill the king. They brought the king with them, and there was a specific purpose, I think, for that. And that's kind of where we are going to begin today, And so we find Bethel and Ai, according to what we've all just read here in verse 25, there's about 12,000 that fell. Now, sometimes that's just the men. This case, I'm not sure whether that's even all the men of Ai. And so it says both men and women were 12,000. So I don't know if that's the children and everything, but it's a good number, 12,000. You think, oh, God is, you know, that can't be God's doing, because God's a merciful God. God loves us. You know, the same people today that stand back and say that God is love and he would not condemn anybody to hell, what's he doing here? Well, I tell you what, he's cleaning up the trash and the filth of the land. That's what he's doing. Ai was a very wicked city, very wicked city. And God did not want Israel to mingle with them in any way, shape, or form. So he sent, by his power, sent the plan in, just like he did with Jericho, and went in and he destroyed everybody. Now, the king here, as we come Joshua, it says in verse 26, drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Israel, all of them. There wasn't one left. And so you see, when we look at that and we see that, we recognize the hand of God. Not one man, woman, or child is left, and the city is burnt. And so the king of Ai, on the other hand here, is not destroyed, not killed. A soldier would be killed by a sword. That's the way the rest were destroyed. But the king, he was, seemed as though, brought up on criminal charges. And so he died like a criminal. They hung him. And they hung him until dead. And as we look at these verses of scripture here, that and the king of Ai took alive and brought him to Joshua, and it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness wherewith they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back. He did not stop, wherewith he stretched out the spear until he utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Israel. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. Joshua burnt Ai, and made a heap forever, even a desolation unto this city. So we find by reading that what was left, there was not an inhabitant left, everyone was killed, and the city was not spared. Everyone, you know, it seems a little strange why didn't he leave the city? He ran everybody out. Why didn't he leave the city for the Israelites to live in? They're just living in tents. There's a reason for that. Number one, there was too much filth left in those houses. There was too much of idol worship. There was too much of those things in those homes. And God wasn't about to expose the people to that. And so he set out to destroy, and he just had them, again, the level of wickedness was so great that he just had them destroy everything. And that's what he did. And so we find that. Now we get to the king. And so the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass. Now you look at that. If you think that God does not bring judgment and justice upon the evil and the lost, why, you're mistaken, because you look at that. And he said that Joshua, they took him out and they hung him as a criminal, as a convicted criminal. And that dead body then was taken down and carcass, the scripture says, that carcass down from the tree where they'd hung him, and they cast it into the entering of the gate of the city. Now, this is a king. you know, this is one that would be when he would have died, why there would have been this big service and big celebration and a time of mourning, and he would have been laid in a tomb. There would have been, you know, depending on the what they believed, he would have been prepared in that way, and it would have been a position of honor and integrity, and again just days or months of mourning. Instead of that, every man, woman, child is dead because of the leadership of this king. And now they bring the king out and they hang him, and in the evening they take him down and they call it a carcass, just like you would an animal, because this man is so wicked. They take that carcass off that tree, off the rope, and they bring it down, and they literally cast it to the ground at the gate, down from the tree, and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city. And then they took a bunch of stones, and they put those stones over that body, and that remains unto this day, the scripture says. And so what a testimony of God's power and God's strength. And that's what Joshua was supposed to do with this wicked king. Why such harsh and cruel treatment for this man? Because he was a harsh and cruel man. That's why. It probably matched his way. It matched his lifestyle. So this treatment that he got was exactly what it was deserved. God is always honest. God is always fair. And probably, because in that time, that's what they would do, that's probably where the king of Ai sat in judgment, because they always sat at the gates. You can find that in many, many areas of Scripture. In that part of the country, that's where the judge would sit, that's where the king would sit, and that is where judgment would take place. And so we find, as it took place, that is exactly where that old carcass was thrown and the stones put on top of it. That was the day. And so, and that remaineth unto this day, the scripture says. Now we move from there and we move on to a total change of way, a total change of scenery, so to speak, because they went up against Jericho by the Lord's way and defeated him. Then they came and they went up against Ai without the Lord and lost. Then they come back, get the camp straightened out, and then they go back up under the guidance and the leadership of the Lord and defeat the community in the land of Ai and Bethel. And now they deal with this king, this wicked king. And you would think now that they have seen the hand of the Lord twice, it's time to go on then and defeat other enemies, because they haven't begun to take the land over yet. This is just two small areas. And you think just a 12,000 people that was put to death here in Ai, and we have Jericho, and that's it. So we haven't even touched the land as far as getting victory. But God is always first. And if you, as one of these folks, soldier, Joshua, anybody that was in the camp of Israel, and you would think, okay, now we're going to go after another enemy and another enemy and another enemy, but God called him, and it says to do something. And Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lifted up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there up on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of all the children of Israel. And all Israel, and their elders and officers, and their judges, stood on this side the ark, and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. Now, we're going to just stop there just for a little bit, because we need to kind of just take a look at what has happened. And as the scene changes here, they're going after enemy and enjoying victories and all those things, and all of a sudden God calls them out into the country. Enemy all around them, but he comes and he has Joshua build this altar. And then they begin to bring the offerings and the sacrifices. Boy, you would think that you would fear the enemy, wouldn't you? Well, when you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, you never have to fear the enemy. You don't have to fear him. You need to know that our God can take care of it. He is the victor. And so it's such a joy to walk each day and to serve the Lord in his strength and power and know that you're safe. You know, so many people live in just constant fear. Just constant. It's just like if there's something bad going to happen, I know it's going to happen to me. And if you live that way, you live a most miserable life, because there is joy and power and strength. There is victory in the Lord Jesus through salvation to have your sins taken away. And then there is a constant, ongoing victory walking with Jesus. And it comes because he gives you wisdom, and he gives you strength, and he gives you protection. And so we need to see that they have totally changed. They have went from a state of war and battling the enemies, which the enemies are all still around, and isn't that the way it is here? Enemies are still all around us, aren't they? But you know what? We don't have to worry, because God calls us, and he tells us to come and worship and praise him. And when we're doing that, oh, that enemy, oh, they can come hurt the body, but that's not going to hurt. That's not going to bother anything. They can come and kill me. I don't care, because, my dear friend, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and I look forward to that time and that day. Let me read something from you in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. That's a verse of Scripture that you probably wouldn't even maybe have thought about here, but it's right in place, right in line with what we're talking about. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, that doesn't matter if it's something that you're working towards, that you're asking the Lord for his help. If you seek him first, I've had so many people that they reject, you know, God says, do not forsake the assembling. And yet, oh my, it's just anything else comes. I don't care if it's a family get-together, I got some work on the old vehicle to do, or, you know, if I work today, then I can rest this afternoon or work this morning. There is just so many, oh, it's too late, I can't come on Wednesday night. You know, I just can't. My dear friend, you're missing it. You are missing it. And if you're in a place or a church that doesn't have Sunday night or Wednesday night, you're really missing it. Because, you know, we get together Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and I wish I could tell you that everybody comes on Sunday mornings, back on Sunday night, and back on Wednesday night. But if I did, I'd be a liar. But it's so sad that they don't see the need to be here. And if you're the same way, if you have services other than Sunday morning and you choose not to go, that's sad. That is so sad, because we need to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, by doing that, you come together to enjoy his fellowship. You come together to enjoy his study. You know, we just sing the old hymns here. We sing the old hymns. We preach out of the Word of God. We don't have all that fancy stuff. And we're of a church of many years ago, because I don't believe God intended for us to change as the world changes. Most people have, and most churches have. We have moved into to the time and day. Now, oh yes, we have the website, we use a radio program, things like that. But that has changed. We have added that technology, but I guarantee you the message hasn't changed. It has not changed. And I hope that you realize and recognize what Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 is saying. If you expect anything, you seek Him first. Well, these people did. They sought the Lord. That was wonderful because they, you know, after doing this, the most common thing would be to do it again and again. And, oh, we're going to have all these victories. And God says, now, come here. Come here. I want you to listen to me. And so that would be no different than you coming to church, would it? I want you to come, and I want you to listen to the Word of God. And so, you know, many preachers just have little sermonettes, and there's just nothing about social activities or something like that. You know, there are many churches that preach the truth and stand upon it. And I hope that where you're going is one of them. If it isn't, I ask that you just get out of where you're going and get down and get serious about the Word of God and doing the Lord's business. Here we have, and Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. They went out to the country, wasn't far from Ai. And now listen to this again. We've read it a couple times, but I want to read it again. Verse 31, as Moses, a servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lift up an iron. In other words, these weren't machined. These stones were just stones that they had picked up. Other than just to build the altar with their hands, it was not man-made. It wasn't glorified in some way to make it special so that people would be attracted to this altar. It was these stones as they were laid up, and that's what was commanded to Moses. Joshua did the same. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrifices and peace offerings. And so these burnt offerings and peace offerings, you know, it represents so clearly the Lord Jesus Christ without spot offered Himself unto God on our behalf, making peace with His precious blood. So what a picture. What a picture. 1,500 years before Jesus went to the cross, it still continues these pictures as they take this land. And so instead of going after another enemy right now, enemies are everywhere. And we sure have the same thing around us. Enemies are every place. But there is a time to come and to sit back and to listen to our Lord and to follow Him. And now we find verse 32, and He wrote there upon the stone a copy. It wasn't like before. It wasn't like the time when Moses went up and God sketched it in. This is just a copy, and it wasn't engraved in the stone. We find that it was actually placed there differently. And as we read through these scripture verses, you'll find that. But it was recorded. It was written, all the words of the law and the blessings and the cursings according to all that is written in the book of the law, verse 34 says. And so we find the position of the priests. We find where they are located. We find where everybody is circled around. Everybody is listening. And afterwards, He read all the words of the law. And so first it was written, and then it was read. Written and read. All the blessings, all the cursings, everything was read. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the woman and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. There was not one that did not hear. It was written to be a copied. Wrote there upon stones a copy of the law of Moses, which He wrote in the presence of all the children of Israel. All of Israel and the elders and the officers and the judges stood on this side of the ark, and all the side of the priests and the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the strangers, those were proselytes that joined. They were all present. And then He began and He read. Please, that we take time. We take time to listen to what God has to say. And don't worry about that enemy outside, because when we're doing what the Lord wants, we don't have a bit of concern or worry. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?